All right, we're ready. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Public Works Advisory Board meeting for the City of Morro Bay for April. It is April 19th. And welcome. All members present and accounted for. We did, for the public who doesn't know, we did have two resignations, so we are technically a five-member board until council takes action to appoint any new members. Let's see. We'd like to start with our moment of silence, please. Thank you. All right. Acceptance of agenda. Has everyone had an opportunity? Well, we, a couple meetings ago, we stopped doing that.
We're not supposed to.
Well, until I get something specific from the city attorney telling me that we need to, then we can change that. And I'm also always open to comment through email if any members have any change of plans. But the consensus on the board seemed to be a little either didn't mind or did not want it. So, but I'm, let me say this now since we're getting ready to start. I am always welcome from any of the board members, from the public or from staff, to accept comments either directly by email, telephone message. I want to know what you're thinking, and if you've got any problems, if you're not liking the way I'm doing something, or if you're having problems with something else, doesn't mean I will change what I'm doing, but I am very open to hearing your opinions, because I think as a board, I think we work better if we understand how to work together, and we shall play nice. So that being said, let's... Sir?
Amen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Roger. Acceptance of agenda item. Has everybody had an opportunity to look over the agenda? And does anybody have any corrections that need to be made or rearrangements? I think we're all set.
Start with me.
Okay, motion to accept?
Accept.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Thank you. We have announcements. Mr. Smuckler, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I'd like to invite members of the public, especially in District 2. Surf Rider is sponsoring a debate for the Board of Supervisors seat in the 2nd District. It'll be this Sunday, April 23rd, at the Cayucas Vets Hall. And we have commitment from all three candidates to be there. League of Women Voters will be the moderators, and there'll be a chance for the audience to submit questions through note cards. So come on out and meet your candidate for the 2nd District and ask them a question or two about how they feel about certain issues in the 2nd District. Thank you.
Okay. And we have one other one. Let's see. It is this Saturday, April 22nd, Earth Day, at Cuesta College. The American Red Cross is recycling TVs, monitors, laptops, free of charge. The Red Cross has partnered with RES Recycling and Environmental Services and electronic recyclers to dismantle and recycle your electronics. Not only will you help the environment by recycling, but a portion of the proceeds will provide relief for local disaster victims. It is from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., rain or shine, at Cuesta College, the main campus on Highway 1. And it says that computers, laptops, cell phones, and PDAs are free for recycling. Computer speakers, home networking systems, and telephones are $5 each. Home printers, VCRs, stereos, and typewriters made of plastic are $2 each. Metal typewriters, for those of you who have metal typewriters, you might want to sell them maybe at a higher rate, since I don't think there's too many of those left. But those and fax machines are also $5 each, and industrial printers and servers are $10 each. They let us know that they cannot accept microwave ovens. So I wanted to let you folks know that that is coming on. That was under our director's report, and Janine would have handled that, so I took liberty to make that announcement.
Madam Chair, I might note, too, that it's a great idea. It's the first time I've seen anybody actually will recycle or reuse computers, but they have committed that all the hard drives will be shredded and replaced. So any concerns about security, if you're not... If you're not a techno and are able to crack the case and take out the hard drive, that hard drive will be destroyed and replaced with one that doesn't have your social security number on it.
The best thing is to learn how to really get rid of things off your computer, I think. And also, too, on the recycling issue, a reminder, please do not throw batteries of any kind away in the garbage anymore. Those are no longer acceptable. They're considered hazardous material. That's all, the batteries, regular little bitty batteries, just the stuff that goes in your everyday stuff. Please do not throw those in the garbage anymore. They need to be taken, I believe, to the high school, or to the across from the high school on Atascadero Road. Is that where we do our hazmat collection on Saturdays?
At the wastewater plant, 160 Atascadero Road, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Boucher.
11 to 3.
11 to 3? Thank you, Bill. Okay, and we have written communications. We have, first of all, we have the bylaws, revised bylaws from the City Council from an action that they took in February. And on that, I don't know if anybody noticed, but there is either a typo or a mistake there. It says under organization, this isn't the typo, this is the part that's vague. At its regular meeting in January or at its first regular meeting in February, which we only have one meeting a month, of each year, the board members shall elect a chair and vice chair who shall hold office for a period of 1 year. My question is, that's a drastic difference for our board between January and February, as if we held the elections in January, outgoing members would be voting. If we wait until February, new members would be a part. Can we, would we need a motion to ask council for clarification on that?
Change it to February then.
Yeah.
Well, you can. It provides that you can do it in February, and that's been the protocol is to do it in February after new members are appointed.
Okay, so it's not it's only vague to me. Was I the only one that was confused on that? As far as to me, it was a big difference.
Use common sense and do it in February.
Okay. Well, see, we can't change our bylaws. We can ask council.
Don't have to change there.
Okay.
Just use common sense.
The other thing under the meetings, it says that our meetings are at 7 p.m.
Or as agreed by the board.
I just thought since they went the trouble of just revising it that maybe it should have been revised under what we actually do.
Remember, the revision that was done, and I didn't intend this to be an action item by any means. The board sent forth a memo to the council regarding absences.
Correct.
That is the action that the board, that the council took. They made a sweeping motion, and they incorporated that language on absences into all the bylaws for all the boards and commissions.
Okay. Okay.
So all I did was just change that one section and give you a copy for your file.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
It was pretty much our language.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I just saw those other two things in there and thought, well, that was odd.
Well,
and as I've said, our bylaws have changed every time I've read them. So I'm always a bit confused. I'm always a bit confused. We also have a memo from the Citizens Bike Committee. And that is it for our written communications. I'm going to move on to public comment. And we actually do have a couple members in the audience tonight, which is a rarity for us. I will say very informally that you are welcome to step forward to the microphone. Please give your name and address. Limit your comments to about 3 minutes, and please try to be respectful. And also know that under the Brown Act, we're not able to really comment on anything that you comment on. If it's an agendized item, we will be discussing it, but if it is not, the most that we can do is put it on the agenda for a later meeting. But I just wanted to let you know, a lot of times people will come up and speak, and they're hoping that we can give them answers, and legally we're kind of, our hands are tied a little bit with that. So please come on up and state your name and your address.
My name is Marla Bruton, and I'm from Java Street in Morro Bay, North Morro Bay. And I'm just wondering, tonight was supposed to be the interviews for Public Works Advisory Board, and we got a call this morning and said that it was canceled, but we've talked to other people and people didn't know if it was canceled or not canceled or what's happening with that. So do you guys know when the interviews are going to take place?
There was at least one council member that's sick today, so they moved to postpone it. I am not aware of any date that's been rescheduled. So I know it's just not tonight, but I don't know what date has been chosen.
So it'll be upcoming.
Yeah,
so
and I would say I'm sure that the city clerk will contact all the applicants to let them know.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure you're clear that it's the city council that does the interview.
Yeah, I am. I was just wanting to make sure that they weren't someplace else and were at the wrong place or
something. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming, too. see some things we don't know unless people come and tell us. Okay, welcome.
Hi. My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm one of the applicants for the... I've turned in an application for the position. What I would like to talk a little bit about today is some of the stuff that's coming up in some of the changes that are going on in Sacramento. I'm a member of the Water Environment Federation membership, and they give you these booklets here. And also I'm a member of the Wastewater Professional California Water Environment Association, where I have a grade 4 collection system certificate. And while I was working at the Cayuga Sanitary District, I performed the sewer flow study between April of 2003 and completed it in August of 2004. And that data was assembled and given to the district manager, Bonnie Conley, on November 5th, 2004. Now, one of the things that is interesting in the sewer study that was presented to the regional board is that data that was given by Cayucas is over 10 years old. It's antiquated data, and we have more current data. What I would like to present to this board and let them know what's going on. Right now, the governor is in, there's discussion about a $50 billion bond that they are proposing for infrastructure in California. And one of the things that they are going to require and is a what they call a infrastructure report card. Now, the infrastructure report cards have been submitted by Los Angeles County, Orange County, San Diego County, Inland Empire, and the Bay Area. And if we, this is one of the things that we're going to need to submit if we were to get some of the money that is available to that from that bond. Now, they're going, this infrastructure report card you can find on the web, and it's, if you visit www.asce.org, and it's the California Infrastructure Report Card, and the latest edition is going to come out in September. So one of the things that we can be doing now in Morro Bay and in Cayucas is assembling that data. And we have good staff that I've had personally been working with, that I had a chance to work with, and one of them, Mr. Vince Navola in Cayucas, is very knowledgeable on the infrastructure in Cayucas and the problems it has. Mr. Dave Phillips and Bruce Keogh. So I think those are the people that we can kind of get together and get this thing underway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah, moving on now to item 6, consent calendar. Has everybody had an opportunity to look over the minutes? And are there any comments or additions that need to be made, corrections?
Did we agree on the minutes?
The agenda we did, not the minutes.
Yes, I have a question on the minutes. On the second page, in the middle, paragraph which begins, questions brought up and discussed included. What's missing is the question of cost and financial responsibility for the citizens of Morro Bay in regards to the infrastructure upgrade. And I see nothing in the minutes reflecting.
Which paragraph?
He's right here.
Okay. Under old business.
The third paragraph. Second page.
I was just curious. We did discuss, we did ask.
Could I ask what you're curious about?
Why there's no mention of the fact that we raised the issue of cost.
Okay, well, you can't include everything. I think you take the words, which fully agree that you did, that was discussed, and just make a motion to add those words to the list.
Well, the reason I question it is because the Planning Commission had a meeting, and this was presented to the Planning Commission, and staff stated that...
This meeting, our minutes?
Yes. No, not our minutes. The fact that we had discussed the sewer system master plan, and I believe staff inferred that we didn't have that many questions and topics of discussion. And yet I remember distinctly raising the cost of financing this project. And yet no mention is in the minutes, and therefore the Planning Commission, in discussing the issue, had no idea that we had raised cost. And they spent a good deal of time talking about the cost, and I would have thought that the fact that PWAB discussed it would have been pertinent to the Planning Commission discussion. And that's why I raised the question.
Does anyone have objections to adding comment about cost to the minutes? Would that be appropriate, Mr. Boucher? I was not here at last meeting, so I feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, there, I think in the prior paragraph, there's statements about the costs and rate structure and financing programs. If that's not adequate, we can certainly look back at the record and include what was. If we omitted that, certainly it should be in there.
Well, then I would make a motion to include in the minutes or add to this minutes just a simple sentence stating that PWAB did raise the cost of financing these projects, and a discussion ensued.
If there's no second. But.
Well, it's. Did you have a question?
No.
Are you waiting for a second?
He's made a motion. Is
I made a motion
a
to include
yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that we discussed the cost in the financing of the infrastructure upgrade.
I would second that.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Well, how about a discussion?
Okay. Would you like to?
All I just wanted to say is to, just for editorial purposes, just since there's a series, since it was a separate sentence, see, that was the problem with the motion. Just put another semicolon and say, the various costs and
I see. You might need to. I get
you.
You
make a motion to correct
yes.
minutes.
Yes,
you have
I understand.
To say specifically what the language is,
okay.
and come in with the language, and then it can be done. And I want to say that there's lots of things, and I think it is important that it was discussed, and I think what I really feel we discussed was the pros and cons of various approaches. Because we went kind of laundry within the discussion.
Okay, let me reword.
Let me for formalities. Noah, you seconded. Would you mind retracting your second? Are you okay with that? Okay.
Second.
Roger, you want to reword? I know, that's the way we are supposed to
get the language.
Okay, thank you. I stand corrected. I cancel the first motion, new motion. At the end of the paragraph, last phrase there, inflow and infiltration at different lift stations, semicolon, also discussed was the cost of upgrading our infrastructure.
Okay.
Period.
I'd second that.
I think we discussed the cost and the various approaches to financing.
Oh,
because
okay.
that was what the issue was.
All right.
Were we going to get the money, and was it going to be who's going to pay?
Okay, fine. Include the however you want to wait, phrase
okay,
it.
Okay.
If you're happy with just cost, I'm happy to vote for it as is.
Okay,
keep it
simple. We have a motion. We have a second.
Okay.
No, is that a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Oh, my.
Was that a
I'm
no?
opposed.
Okay, so that is.
Wait a minute. Why are you opposed?
I feel this, the paragraph ahead of it covers it.
Okay.
The
well, it's 4-1. It's fine. The motion carries.
It carries anyway.
That's it.
So I'm material at that point.
The paragraph ahead talks about what the staff presented. The last paragraph talks about the that's the difference.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a.
Yes. Thank you. I now move acceptance of the minutes. As corrected.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous? Excuse me. Any opposed? I can hear a little better, but for the sake of the people at home and in the audience that were all coming over the microphones, it might not be quite so clear. So my apologies for formalities. Okay, on to number 7, Director's Report. Mr. Boucher.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go over a few items that are kind of in the mill these days. The City Council was not able to hear the item on the Harbor Walk project permit conditions and funding at April 10th. We now look forward to having that discussion at the meeting of next Monday, the 24th. Coincidentally, we have submitted the allocation request for all the grant monies with the anticipation that those monies will be available this summer and that hopefully we'll be able to break ground with good bid results in the fall or early winter. As we'll see earlier, later on the agenda, the City Council has directed all the boards and commissions to make recommendations for actions on the Green Accords, and the and that item is on the agenda for April 24th, and certainly when you take action tonight, we will forward that post haste. The chair already mentioned the electronic recycling event for the computers, etc. On the fire station 53, as you recall, we are in the process of replacing the apparatus bay at the fire station on Harbor Street. In January, the roof of the dormitory section of the existing building was damaged, so the council allocated monies to acquire temporary quarters, place those quarters at the old Public Works Department site at 695 Harbor. We opened bids last week on manufactured house for administrative and dormitory functions. The low bid was in the amount of $149,050. That's with factory modifications installed on the site. The council will consider the award of that contract next Monday, the 24th. The manufacturer informs us it'll take 10 weeks from the issuance of the order for the unit to be constructed and installed and operational on the site. At the same time, staff were working on the plans for grading and drainage, the utilities and driveways and ADA ramps and similar site improvements. And it should be noted that there's one eucalyptus street tree, red flowering eucalyptus fissifolia, right on the front edge of 695 that will have to be removed. The fire department needs to have the response time, and they didn't want to have to run across the street to get their equipment, so we'll be moving the larger of the two equipment tents to the front portion of the 695 property with the dormitory and administrative building in the rear.
So is the tree coming out to accommodate the driveway?
The tree will be coming out to accommodate the driveway, yes.
Is there any plan on where the two replacement trees will be?
No, there's not.
Okay.
That's the standard, yes. And as Mr. Ewing pointed out, the Planning Commission did consider the sewer master plan, sewer collection system master plan. Their role was to determine whether it was or was not consistent with the general plan for the build-out population. It was the conversation tried to go to different places, but the chair reminded the board what they were to do, and we're looking at perhaps May 22nd for the City Council to consider. Having said that, we got the Urban Water Management Plan on tonight's agenda. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dorfman, go ahead.
It's on transportation, and we can always just schedule it when Jeanine is here, but you could give us your quick read on whether maybe we should be discussing this potential cutback in services because SLOCOG is doing a pilot?
You will be discussing that. It's going to come back to you. They're going to, in all likelihood, they're going to approve the pilot program. The pilot program, which will be in effect for the next fiscal year, will not cost this community any money, but that's just the 1 year. During that same period of time, the North Coast Transit Plan will be coming to you, and options, including the financial ramifications, will be brought forth. So you should have an opportunity to discuss a broad range of subjects related to local and regional transit at that meeting. I think Jeanine was talking about perhaps September or October.
Right. The consultant originally told me that he was going to have that back to our board by late February, early March.
Sure. And here we are.
And here we are in April, and of course, it has not progressed.
Is that a time frame that allows us to impact that 7-8 years, see the idea, in other words, is it already a fait accompli that if the pilot's successful?
No, it is not a fait accompli, although how many times have you seen a pilot program that ends after 9 months? Not very likely. The item is, we have one of our council members, it's our SLOCOG representative.
Has they been alerted?
She voted on it.
Yes.
She has voted on it. She's very up to date on all the information.
All.
Yes.
Just trying to.
And keep in mind too that the North Coast Transit Plan is different from this pilot program. Those are two very different issues.
Other than it comes from the same pot of money.
Right.
And for the public's benefit, the pilot is extended services to Sunday.
Right. And basically what happens with those pilot programs are they set up a pilot program to see. It's a test run. If it's successful, meaning there's going to be a certain amount of ridership that has to happen for that to be deemed successful. If that happens, then it should theoretically become more a permanent part of service. If it becomes a permanent part of service, we're going to be in trouble because we can't afford it. So then we are going to be, as a city, in an issue of cutting service someplace else to accommodate that or finding grant money somewhere to do it. But right now, we're being covered for the costs that we don't have for the pilot program. But after the pilot program, it will be a different financial situation.
See, the reason that is especially concerned is the way it's written, and maybe you can't get everything in. One of the main users, based on going to the workshops, will be Los Osos. And they have a dial-a-ride right now. And I didn't see a mention of their funds or the county funds. See, and so that's what I was concerned with, why it was just San Luis.
Because San Luis and Morro Bay were the only two areas that didn't have the funds. We're tapped out on our transit funds. Los Osos' funds come from the county. So they had money to play with to be able to do it. So that's why they're floating San Luis and Morro Bay, because we are technically tapped out on our money for transportation. We're using all of our transit funds already on transit, and the county apparently had some tucked away that they weren't using yet.
I have two questions, if I may please, of staff. Under roundabouts, the Morro Bay Boulevard Quintana Road roundabout, is this a done deal now? Are we locked in and we're just waiting for funds?
Correct.
Thank you. That was brief. Second question. On regards to report on City Council items pertaining to public services, you have noted here that staff is to bring back to the Council in April. No, in May, I think. May 8th. Creek maintenance issues. And I'd like to know if the property owners who are to be affected, will they be notified that there will be a public hearing?
Yes.
Thank you. Ends my questions.
Okay. Is there any other questions for Mr. Boucher? No? Going once, going twice, it's gone. All right. Bill, did you want to close anything up on that?
I'm done.
You're done. Well, okay then. All right. Moving on to item number 8, old business. Subletter A is Green Cities Declaration, Urban Environmental Accords. Mr. Boucher, selection of three actions to recommend to City Council. And I'm assuming that means that you have three options for us and you would like our recommendations. Is this in addition to what we sent to Council at, two, three meetings ago, where...
The motion that you forwarded to the council was that the City Council, in concert with boards and commissions, select three items. And so now they're responding and asking you to pick three items.
Do
I have three that I wish for you to choose? No, I do not.
We are hoist on our own petard because they took our advice.
Yes, they took our advice. This is how politics works. You see, we made a constructive contribution, and now it is... being, I believe, politely passed back into our lap to do something about it. But at least all of the boards now are involved in the process, and I think that's a good idea. And we did at least keep the issue alive.
But, Madam Chair, I have no presentation nor recommendation in the matter. Pick whichever three you wish.
We won't go through all 21 again, because there was extensive discussion.
I think we're just supposed to pick three, and then among the five of us, choose the three that we all
but
think.
But drawing on the discussion that was had, we did remark on ones that might lend themselves to being done, because the idea is this did not fit Morro Bay because it's meant for big cities, but that doesn't mean we should say, well, forget it. So let's at least show our commitment to this type of activity by municipalities by trying to figure out some that at least fit a bit. And there was a number, let's see, number seven from the notes is adopt a policy that mandates a green building rating system standard that applies to all new municipal buildings. That was attractive, as I recall, because it's basically an action of the board, of the council, and that will not cost money other than the staff funds, other than the staff time, to work on it and develop it, because it's a rating system. It's not a requirement that the building be built that way. But once you get the measurement out there, people start using it. And as I recall, that was one we could do. Does that make sense?
We would also be supported by that.
I'm looking at Bill as staff that that makes, what I said is that that's something that could be implemented by an action of the city council. Doesn't bind anyone or mandate anything.
And it's,
but
only, and it's only for municipal buildings.
It's only for municipal buildings.
Right, does not apply
so
to private works.
But it's one that they put in under urban design, and it's certainly something that could be done and I think would be supported, and it has its educational value.
Yeah, and we've also gone down that path by signing the Memorandum of Understanding with the Green Build, and they'll actually be supporting us in that process.
Could you explain Green Build a little bit?
The Green Build program is a county-based program to help and assist cities and residents to incorporate green building techniques into their design and construction projects, whether it's new construction or they're refurbishing an old building. So we actually have signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Green Build to... We actually gave them some money, and they're going to be setting up a kiosk in, I believe it's our, is it going to be in the City Hall or is it going to be in the Chamber of Commerce?
I think it's in the Community Center.
Oh, Community
I'm
Center.
I'm not sure,
okay,
though.
Well, they're actually going to be setting up a kiosk there with information about different things that you can do, opportunities, ideas to use in your own design if you're working on that.
Mm. So the, I think, and I ask for staff to editorially correct. I think that we can adopt Action 7 as written, which is adopt a policy that mandates a green building rating system standard that applies to all new municipal buildings. I don't see any problems with pursuing it.
I would just with the... With the proviso, and I was trying to think of what's in the mill right now, the two buildings that we're looking at building are both fire equipment apparatus bays, two big garages. Mm-hmm. So I would look for different units of measure and different expectations for different types of works. Mm-hmm. You know, a new city hall versus a garage.
Okay. So it's something like I would like to move that we recommend... modified Action 7, that the council adopt a policy that mandates a green building rating system standard that applies to all new municipal buildings. Such standard should take into such standard would be expected to vary in accordance with the type of use of the building.
I would say change mandates to recommends, because we don't know what's going to happen with these fire buildings, for example, what they have to do. You have to be practical with it.
It isn't requiring the building to be built that way. It's simply saying
mandates
that you have,
means build it that way.
No, it doesn't. If you read the rest of the sentence, I know it can be confusing. Adopt a policy that mandates a green building rating system.
It's simply
that they be
the
rated,
system, not the implementation.
Rated, and the idea of green building design would be considered in the process.
It doesn't mandate that they build it that way, but I think...
Why it that way?
Pardon?
It's all right, long, they don't...
Well, that is, and I think what Bill pointed out is actually an improvement, because you will have those variances, and it's nicer to recognize it and meet a standard that's sensible than to say, oh, well, we're going to not meet the standard because...
What is the difference between number 7 and number 8? Because I would personally prefer number 8 over number 7. 7, I think, is already in the psyche of the city bureaucracy. I think that's a given already. Mm-hmm. Whereas action number 8, I think, takes it a little further.
We're more or less doing 8. In a lot of respects.
Well, I don't know that the city has adopted higher density, mixed use, walkable, bikeable, and disabled accessible neighborhoods as a policy.
Look at new development. It's all closer together. It's higher density.
But I would agree with Roger that it's important to, if you're doing it, it's okay to say this is what we're doing and put it into words.
Mm-hmm. And besides, we're just recommending to the city council that they adopt 3. Planning commission, harbor advisory board did this. Planning commission has done it, and now we're doing it. And eventually the city council will get everybody's recommendations and draw a consensus based on what they hear from the various boards.
Do you feel that could be as written?
Number 8?
Yeah.
Yes,
I simply. I no objection to that. I mean, in the discussion, it's kind of identifying 3, and I think there's clearly...
Well, that's one of 3 that...
Enough to say number 8.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I would...
And...
I personally would prefer number 8 over number 7.
Well, it's not an over, because we have 3.
Well, I have 2 others as well.
Well,
and I'm sure you do.
Continue.
Well, then that's why we'll come up with a list and narrow
it
down.
That's what I think we should.
Okay, 7, 8. Myself. The other one that, based on the discussion we had, was 16, and that would take some action. But it's every year identify one product, chemical, or compound that is used within the city. It meant within city government. That represents the greatest risk to human health and adopt a law and provide incentives to reduce or eliminate its use by municipal government. So that's, and they put the incentives because they're thinking of a bigger population and everything. I mean, you know, a much larger bureaucracy and operation. But that's something that I think is doable, and the city would want to do. Anyway, so my two candidates, because my others were force fits, because we have the other presentation, but my two were 7 and 16. And I had others if we couldn't come up with more, but based on the discussions that were previously had, because I couldn't believe that I was able to find my previous minutes.
It's interesting because this subject dovetails completely with the urban water management plan that we're going to be looking at later on, and the idea of our wastewater treatment plant and it needing some attention and upgrading, and the idea of the Choro Creek sewage treatment plant potential seemed like a very environmentally sound way to take a look at one of the most pressing issues that our communities are going to have in the future, which is our water supply, mm-hmm. and to also handle the problem of a wastewater treatment plant that is somewhat over capacity and needing to be upgraded. And we do have reports that have looked into the possibility. So,
are you looking at 21 with that in mind?
Looking at 21 in a way, but it isn't.
Well, I would support 21 if you want to go that way. I think it's...
Well, it's in the process.
I'm sorry?
It's already in the process, is it not?
It's actually...
I like the phrase, and this is a... What we're trying to do, I think, is boards and commissions in an advisory position, is give the council our knowledge, experience, and what we think on this. and change or adapt policies that lend themselves to a green existence. And that last sentence on number 21, that includes the participants of all affected communities and is based on sound economic, social, and environmental principles.
It's a direction without a specific order to do something? Is that
what you're... Well, 7 years, we need to expand the use of recycled water and the implementation of a sustainable urban watershed planning process. And I think that's doesn't put a lot of work on staff, doesn't cost a lot of money, but it lets the citizens know that their city council is looking out for their future. And that's what we're here for, is the future. We can't change the past, but we can improve upon how we deal with the future. And 21 covers it without hitting you over the head.
Are you assuming that recycled water becomes potable water?
Well, I think that's going to take longer than 7 years. But I think recycled water is gray water we could do now. And I think we as a city need to go down that path because, as Noah said, the one resource we need the most of is finite, and that's water. It's going to be a major, major concern, future population growth and its effect on the water usage. So I think we as a city need now to take a look at how we're going to deal with the water usage in the future. And so I support Action 21 based on that. Action 20 also is an important one, but I think 21 covers all of it. No, 21, 8, 21, and also 11. 11 is the...
11 is on my list as well.
Establish a goal based on ecological and community considerations to plant and maintain canopy coverage in not less than 50% of all available sidewalk planting sites. It's a further insurance that city trees will be planted, that we as a city are concerned about our canopy. I would hate to think that what happened in the state parks could happen, I mean, in the state park could happen here in the city. State Park, in my opinion, and I'm the only one, I'm speaking only for myself, very disappointed with State Park. They destroyed a wonderful park by eliminating 50% of the canopy so they could get RVs in there. That doesn't necessarily mean that the city's going down the same road, but I would like the city to have as a policy the willingness to continue planting street trees, shrubs, plants, and keeping the green growth happening in our city.
Along those lines, Roger, planting native
yes
plants.
Thank you.
Again, it goes along with our water management policy and respecting that resource.
Well, I've been arguing that we should be planting trees for at least 10 years, and particularly with all these trees we lost from the pines we lost, we should have started planting long ago to replace them because 10, 15, 20 years from now, we still aren't going to have trees up.
Yeah, the saying goes, when was the best day to plant a tree?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's never
too late. Well, not only that, but we've you know, just I've noticed some of the larger birds that have no large trees to be in. So it takes a while for them to grow. Yeah. We can't just plant them in there.
I accept Bill's support on action number 11 with the trees. Thank you, Bill.
Madam Chair, do you think there'd be some value to as Roger's given his three, perhaps just to go across the board and see,
sure,
at least at first glance, what people's top three are, and maybe you have consensus on a lot of them, and then hammer out.
I have a question,
hammer
though.
Hammer out maybe the last one.
And you might. I was looking for one that I thought was on our original document a few months ago that had to do with municipal vehicles, as far as.
Yes.
Alternate fuels. I'm not seeing it in here anywhere now, but it seemed to me that there was something there, that there was discussion about that as we purchase vehicles in the future that we might be able
That'd
to
be
look.
14.
Yes.
14?
14 is the one you're looking
at. Yeah.
Under transportation.
anything about bio?
No, Tom.
What was the city?
Well, while we're,
have they found a policy?
Well, Madam Chair, while it's being read, I'd like to comment that there's a mix I would like to see, of at least between the forward-looking statements about developing plans or policies, and one of them, something that the city actually does, because that keeps it alive. Because I actually have to do, oh yeah, this is part of that Green Cities thing.
Yeah. Which,
see, that's part of my thinking of either whether it be the identifying the toxic waste thing, or I guess you could do it on the vehicles. I thought having to develop a standard create some discussion. So that was my thought on those. I have no disagreement with the others that have been mentioned. So I think we end up with more. I'm not, and I want to say now, I'm not so committed to that idea that I'm entrancing on it. I just wanted to explain why I was pushing that one as my number one, because it's something the city's actually doing, mm-hmm. rather than, and it makes the others then left viewed as less of a puff piece.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is, in looking into tonight, there are some documents that are out there. This is put out by the federal government, Office of Government-Wide Policy, and this is on sustainable development in society, October 2004. And
there's no one manning the camera.
Well, anyway, that's put out by the federal government. William McDonough is the main liaison with the government for that. Looking through what different cities have done, there's a whole bunch of information out there, and whether it's from a large city like San Jose or San Mateo to smaller cities that are more like ourselves, and it seems like we want to also keep an eye on what cities that are very much alike, what we have in common, to take a look at what they're doing and find out what they can do at a low cost. And things that they've done early on in the game to have a big impact, but not to hit the pocketbook necessarily as hard as some of these bigger things. So I was just thinking, like, really the goal is we want this to be an ongoing thing, as you're saying, Barry.
But as far as the context of what we're doing right now, we're limited to this list of 2021. Yeah. So if we can, mm-hmm. if we can go back to trying to, you know, each of us get our three or get three as a group mm-hmm. together that we've got support to, and then we can move along.
And, I think if I could interrupt Roger's point about number 8 already having been supported by two other, by the Planning Commission, you said? And
I assume we're working on all sources to stop the contamination.
That's helpful to know, because something that comes from everyone will do better.
I really would like to see a number 22, which is get a working sewer going in Los Osos and stop the contamination of Morro Bay. Well, it's dang important.
You got me, as there's no 22 on our list.
Stuff on here.
Part of the whole gig is to say what we can about other people, but really to take a good look at ourselves and try to be responsible about our impact and then hope everyone else is doing that. So, maybe help them if you can.
Well, gentlemen, we have a list of 21. So let's pick up three from this 21, please.
Okay, great.
Mr. Boucher, can you give us input on procedurals?
Well, that's up to you on the procedure. Generally, what do you initiate the discussion, you open it up to public, and then come back to you.
Just in reference, Marla, City Council will be dealing with this, and at that time, the public will be invited to speak.
Okay.
Unless you have something pertinent you want to say to our discussion right now.
I think that's what she's saying.
Okay, we'd like to hear.
Yeah. Please, come up.
Because it was agenda, so.
Marla Bruton, North Morro Bay. And right now we're in the plans of upgrading our sewer plant here. And I just, as a homeowner and a resident, would like to remind you that the city council, all five of our city council, voted that they would like to go to full tertiary with our sewer upgrade. And what that would do is give us, with the full tertiary, we have the ag exchange water that goes along with it. And Cayucas has been just adamant about going only to full secondary treatment, which is the law. That is the law. But we've been 40 years behind the law. We've been dumping untreated sewage into the ocean. We do need an upgrade on our capacity of our sewer so that we're not continuously running over surcharging into the ocean. But as far as the green cities goes, I would like to see more support in the area and more people to get knowledge about the sewer system. You can go to oceanoutfall.com on the internet. There's a lot of information on there. And anyway, we've got them to bring the time frame back, again, from the Regional Water Quality Board. And when this sewer upgrade was first mentioned, Cayucas and Morro Bay, I think we're planning on taking the full 15 years to upgrade. And at that time, probably the full secondary will be no longer the standard. It'll be raised by then. They took it down to 9.5 years, but that's still way too long. And the Regional Water Quality Board has kicked it back, just so the people at home know. And we'd like an even shorter time limit on that. It's completely doable, like 5 years. 3 to build, 2 to make sure it works, and we're out the door. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. I think Action 21 pretty well covers what Marla was asking for as far as how these are presented to us. We are to pick 3, and the one that I think relates most to what Marla was speaking about is Action 21.
The one problem with 21 is we now don't put wastewater. We don't discharge wastewater, I don't believe, from Morro Bay.
Well, yeah, we discharge wastewater, but that doesn't mean that it's untreated. It doesn't mean that we don't dump raw sewage
into
the ocean.
Raw sewage, I presume.
We don't dump raw sewage into the ocean.
Yeah. So if...
But at times of peak capacity, we will dump blended sewage.
Except
which
that
is untreated and treated.
Okay. Well, the lists are 7.
Well, let's go back to what we were originally doing, that you have each member come up with 3 and then debate them so we can narrow them down if maybe you don't have 3. But
I would start. I like the first 3 that we were speaking about generally, the 18, 16, and 21.
18...
Or 8, excuse me.
8.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Dorfman?
Well, I think those are fine, but I think also 7 is fine for the reason. I was trying to write them down and get the list of what they are first there, since I dropped my others. I pass for the moment, so
okay.
I can just...
Okay. Roger, do you have 3 that you'd like that are primary for you?
8, 11, and 21.
8, 11, and 21. Mr. Olson, how about you?
7, 8, and 11.
7, 8, and 11.
Can you read that 8?
And are you...
Well, I don't have the list yet. Because we're lacking the board, so I don't know what the topics are until I write them down. I've got to process them.
But, I mean, from this list of 21, you don't have 3 particular ones that you'd like to see on an overall list? What I'm trying to do right now is
7 was the one, but I want to give the other 2 from what other people have discussed.
Bill, did you have any others?
Vicki, do you have your 3?
I have 11, Let me go back to it.
Okay, I got my three now.
I think it was it 14 that was the one?
Yes.
Oh, and there I go. Actually, 11 was the tree canopy.
Trees, yeah.
Right, okay. And then the other one was, I believe, 7. I don't support number 8 at this point. Yeah, it's 7.
Okay.
Okay, so...
I'm 7, 11, and 21.
7, 11, and 21.
That was him, too, starting there.
Let me get him over here. Okay. So, 7 is on 4 people's list.
Have we gotten no's yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I liked number 8, and I forgot to mention it, was the last phrase. Space systems for recreation and ecological restoration. I think that's very important, ecological restoration.
I think that's important, too. What I object to about number 8 is the density issue, the building, the Planning Commission issues, and the density issues of construction and that. I wish that those issues were separated.
I don't like it, but they've already been doing so much of it.
Well, it doesn't mean that I have to vote for it. So it's not on my list.
Okay.
I like the other things. I just wanted to let you guys know why I didn't like it. It was just the density issue. It wasn't the other things.
Madam Chair, I have a code. You've got 4 choices for number 11, 3 for number 7, 3 for number 21, 3 for number 8, and 1 each for 14 and 16.
So we got
11 is...
11's coming up to the top.
Is to conduct an inventory of existing canopy coverage in the city and then establish a goal based on ecological and community considerations to plant and maintain canopy coverage in not less than 50% of all available sidewalk planting sites.
How many did that one get?
That got 4.
That got four. That's at the top of our list.
Okay.
So perhaps then with 7...
7 or 8 are both got 3?
7, 8, and 21 each got 3. 7 is the green building rating system, 8 is the urban planning principles, and 21 is wastewater.
No, 11 got...
4 votes.
4 votes.
Mm-hmm. I would be willing to switch my vote for number 8 to number 7 if we can keep number 21. So it would be 11, 7, and 21.
I actually have a quick question kind of regarding 7 and 8, the urban design. What incentives does the city have currently for people that are homeowners or developers that are looking to implement LEED-type projects, green design projects? Is there an advance in their permitting?
I don't know. I don't know that there's any.
Let's see.
I wish there was something between 7 and 8, because 7 is kind of
weak. Well, 8 is...
I know. Can we vote for 7 and a half?
If you look at 8, it is predominant. I think 8 pertains more to a city larger than the size of Morro Bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the policy philosophy more than anything else in relation to Morro Bay, I think.
Well, in the big picture, I'd be willing to support... you know, the issues in 8 that I agree with,
mm-hmm.
and go along with the one part that I don't, because
it's coming.
You know, it's broader. See, it's broader base for a community. So I'm flexible. I'm just
my goal of having one of the three
totally impossible.
Something the city will do. The canopy inventory is this, which I think also lends itself, either of them, 7 or 11 lends itself to educational involvement. You know, because it's the kind of thing that can be used as a work study, or not a work study, but an assignment, a thesis. So I'm with having 11 in, 8 is fine with me. I just wanted one that the city, we're recommending the city actually spend some energy doing something. And I think that could be done by a class.
So
I was hoping with 11, I don't know if about this idea, but to add... at the end, with a focus on native flora.
Or
with a...
If I withdraw my... did I already vote for...
Well, we're not voting. We're just trying to get an idea of where a consensus might be,
yeah,
so that we can come up with three as a group.
Yeah.
But I like Noah's...
You're not committed to what you've said. I mean,
but most of the trees aren't native.
Yeah.
This is trying to get the ideas out here so that we can come up with some consensus and find out not only what each of us likes, but why. Because a lot of times I think that if we understand why somebody wants something, we might find another option.
In number 11, can we add Noah's suggestion?
That would be a question, I think, for Mr. Boucher.
It's a question for the board, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Sure. I would like to add Noah's addendum.
Should we adopt that? Let's add that language when we get to adopting.
Okay.
Why don't you make a motion?
So I'll put 11 plus.
I move that should we adopt 11, it include the language. What is the language?
With an emphasis on native flora.
Period.
Thank you, Noah.
Okay.
He worked for the state too long, I think.
Did anyone? Okay, that's the motion. Is anyone going to second it? So,
well,
I would second it.
Can we instead of making a motion now? Can we, if 11 ends up on the list, can we just add it right in there with that?
Then we'll do it then.
Okay. So
wait a minute now. 11 is pertaining primarily to trees.
Exactly. And what he's saying is
and
that
this
those
place,
trees
Morro Bay,
made.
Was a treeless plain. 500 years ago.
Yeah, well, 500 years ago, you know, there was a lot of.
So they had native flora.
We actually had fishing going on here 500
years. But they had native flora.
Yeah,
somebody came along and planted them.
It says sidewalk planting sites.
Yeah.
So we could add native flora. That would fit.
Well, you got small stuff.
We do have a street tree list.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have a street tree list.
Wally did it up years ago.
Yes, he did. A very good list.
Well. Is the list full with native?
Okay.
Yes, there is native.
We're all trying to discuss the color of the car here.
Right,
We're all committed to 11. I think that's a safe bet. The discussion is on the...
I rely on Noah adding that.
For the silver and the gold.
Okay.
I mean, the silver and the bronze.
I'm willing to switch over to 8 from 7.
Okay.
You know, I can certainly do that.
I'd like to make a motion. I move that we adopt or approve or recommend item 8, item 11, and item 21 to send to the City Council for...
Wait, do you want to go ahead and say with the addition to the...
With Noah's addition to number 11, I'd like Noah to put that in, please, Noah. That's the motion. 8, 11, and 21.
Noah, would you mind stating your addition to number 11 so that Kathy Weaver can get that written down as we make a...
Okay, with an emphasis on native flora.
And that's just added to number 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just inserted before the period.
Mm-hmm. Roger's motion that's on the table right now is for 8, 11, and 21 with the addition to number 11. As worded by Mr. Smuckler.
I would second Roger's motion.
Okay, we have a first, we have a second. Any discussion? No takers? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you, gentlemen, for your cooperation. Sometimes
thank you all for your patience.
Difficult.
And Madam Chair, if I may be so bold, just for the purposes of the audience that doesn't have the list in front of them, number 8.
Oh, thank you.
States adopt urban planning principles and practices that advance higher density, mixed use, walkable, bikeable, and disabled access neighborhoods, which coordinate land use and transportation with open space systems for recreation and ecological restoration. Number 11 says, conduct an inventory of existing canopy coverage in the city, and then establish a goal based on ecological and community considerations to plant and maintain canopy coverage in not less than 50% of all available sidewalk planting sites with an emphasis on native flora. And number 21 states, adopt municipal wastewater management guidelines and reduce the volume of untreated wastewater discharges by 10% in 7 years through the expanded use of recycled water and the implementation of a sustainable urban watershed planning process that includes participants of all affected communities and is based on sound economic, social, and environmental principles.
Excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Boucher.
It was my pleasure.
Well, good job, people. Thank you. Moving on now to number 9, new business. the 2005 Urban Water Management Plan. Mr. Boucher will be taking this. Consideration of analysis required by state law and recommendation to City Council. Mr. Boucher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, that this is the Urban Water Management Plan is required by state law. And I'm going to do, hopefully, a brief yet illustrative PowerPoint presentation that will go over what I think are the highlights of the items that that we really need to look at. I'll take care of that. And I'll talk about it a little bit up there. We have a water management plan. Okay? And that is the policy document that drives the potable water programs in the community. That was originally adopted by the City Council in 1995. It's been certified, approved by the Coastal Commission. It is now incorporated into the local coastal program and the land use plan. It was reaffirmed by the City Council in 2003. It is a cornerstone of the community's development and planning policies. Now we have the Urban Water Management Planning Act, which says that we must prepare an urban water management plan that has mandatory features on it, things that we have to address to prove to the legislature and to the Department of Water Resources that the community has an adequate supply of water for the community under specific climatic conditions in the short, medium, and longer term. So that's the emphasis of what we're doing here is basically to provide the state evidence of what we've been doing all along. So you'll see within the document there are existing ordinances, there's existing conservation measures, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on within the community, most particularly the conservation measures for in excess of 20 years, but I guess that's new for Sacramento. So, and that was just a personal opinion, not represent the department. But so I'm going to swing over and do our little PowerPoint. I'll be wandering around with the walking mic, much like a lounge act. So please, any time, if there's any questions on any of the slides, please let me know. I've got you've got copies of the slideshow in your package here.
And thank you for that.
So that you can follow along easily.
Your personal asides are always welcome, Bill.
And Mr. Boucher will now be taking over the avocado room of Morro Bay. Well, that's the lounge lizard bit. He's getting it down.
Isn't this look more like a peach?
It must be on.
It's on.
Now I need to hit...
Not me.
Input. There we go. The document that we're talking about was actually prepared by Boyle Engineering out of San Luis Obispo. We provided all the data documentation to it. They synthesized it. They basically put it all together into the presentable format. The purpose, number one, is required by the Urban Water Management Plan Act. We have to look at a 20-year horizon in 5-year increments, and the plan has to represent years ending in 5 and 0. Now, for us, coincidentally, a 20-year planning horizon to 2025 basically provides for community build-out. And as we'll see it, much as we discussed in the sewer master plan with the population projections and flows, the same sort of analysis goes on here. To quote out of the Act, we have to ensure an appropriate level of reliability for the water resources. And, oh yes, by the way, to qualify for Proposition 50 and other state grant programs, we have to have an urban plan approved by the Department of Water Resources. As I stated earlier, how this relates to other existing plans that we have, most particularly the water management plan. As I stated, the local coastal program and a land use plan, that is the document that establishes, along with the general plan, the long-term goals and objectives and visions of the community. The water management plan is part of that. This is a separate one, but actually what it kind of does, it provides, it illustrates the operational strategies, perhaps, that we pursue in order to implement the water management plan. So we've been kind of calling it the urban plan just to differentiate between our water management plan and the urban water management plan. So this is the urban plan.
And the urban plan, just for the public and clarification, the urban plan is the state mandated portion of this information.
That's correct. And there are, and there's a checklist that was included in your package of those mandatory features, and we put over on there what the feature is and then where it's shown in the plan, because that has to be submitted so that the people at the Department of Water Resources, who are getting literally thousands of these at a time, hopefully they can scan through it quicker. But basically, it's short, medium, and long-term plans for the potable water supply under normal, dry, and water shortage contingency scenarios, with resource options and reliability, and of course, the public participation in the consideration of the plan. Just in summary, our basic potable water resources consist of four items. First and foremost is conservation. Now, conservation is kind of a broad term, and at least from an operational standpoint and from the departmental standpoint, we look at items such as reclamation, demand reduction, and a number of other things as types of conservation. Conservation is not one single thing, but rather more of a philosophical approach to the policy. We also have groundwater in the Morro and the Chorro Valleys. We import state water, and we have a desalting plant. We also have mutual aid agreement with the California Men's Colony, which is referenced a couple times in here. We have a physical connection between our system and the Whale Rock Reservoir at the California Men's Colony, and we have a mutual aid agreement with CMC for exchanges under exigent circumstances. One thing we want to make sure is that the community is comfortable with the conservation practices. And as you can see on this chart, over a period of time that starts in 1970 and runs through the current, there has been a quantifiable and definite trend of water conservation. Back in 1970, the community was using somewhere in the area of 190 gallons per capita, and now we're at in about 120 gallons per capita right now. What the water management plan tells us is that if the water consumption is in excess of 130 gallons per capita per day, that we have to invoke mandatory conservation measures. Yes?
Question, please. In this figure, is the tourist population included in this at all?
This is permanent population.
Strictly permanent.
Census population, yes.
How does tourism, the tourist usage of our water supply, affect these graphs and charts, or do they?
It doesn't.
Okay.
The consumption, the water demand is in these figures, but it's distributed only to permanent population.
Thank you.
What you mean is that, as I understand it, that the public, the Morro Bay public, is charged with consuming all the water including the water that tourists use.
Correct.
Correct. Oh. And the people who only live here part time, who aren't here when the census is taken, which is a good.
Correct.
That's
precisely correct.
So, as Bill says, then we as citizens are actually using less than 120.
Oh, absolutely. If you're looking at strictly at residential use, that's in
residential and business.
Right.
It includes everything.
Everything.
If you're looking at what the citizens in their homes are consuming, it's been in the high 80 gallon per day.
I understand now. Thank you.
I got confused by something that was said. Businesses are paid for the water they use.
Absolutely.
So we're not. I thought it said that the citizens are paying for the consumption.
No, I think I took what he meant was that when we're talking about per capita consumption,
it's included
that
in there.
It's a population. It's based on permanent population, not the number of connections.
Numerator, the number of gallons of water consumed includes.
Is the gross number, the total demand for every meter in the community. Yes.
Just as a clarification, if the per capita, does that also involve the potential lot size or the average lot size that each person was involved with managing, whether it's their home or their business?
No. All it is, it's the total amount of water consumed in any given year factored with the total permanent population.
Then you said the cutoff for mandatory measures was what? One?
If we exceed 130.
Okay. In a way, we're quite close for the following reason. Hopefully, there will be expanded tourism. I see more motel rooms being built. And if their consumption is more than, if given the way it's figured, if that flourishes, it's very possible to bump above 130, even if the permanent residents are continuing their fantastic level of consumption. That's
one way to help alleviate that potential problem would be to encourage development in hotels and so tourist type industry to incorporate the water saving techniques.
Yeah, absolutely, because they would be included in any mandatory approach that would be triggered, so might as well do it before. But it's just to say how I've always thought how wonderful we're doing, but now that I understand how it's figured, depending on circumstances, we're pretty close to it.
Is there a
mandatory?
Let him answer one question before we go on to the next, if we can. He says, I don't know. Was that a question?
Well, it's the same subject that Noah and Dr. Dorfman raised, and that is if the tourist industry raises our usage. I mean, is there something we can do in policy with the tourist industry to require them, as Noah suggested, rather than just make it a voluntary? Is there something we can, like, require the motel?
Or incentives.
Incentives, something to at least let the tourists know that water is a resource that is limited, and
the standard response to that is that with our progressive or inverted block rate water rate system, the businesses see cash savings.
Thank you.
If they conserve.
Okay.
City policy, it does it all. I think rather
than controlled by the pocketbook, in other words.
Yeah. Thank you. Rather than require, I think approach this city in that regard is facilitate and support and educate.
Thank you.
So the point, in summation, or to cap this off, we used 129 gallons for our demand to project the demand out into the future. Now, what the 141 that's shown on there is kind of it's kind of an interesting phenomena, is that when it's a dry year, people have a tendency to irrigate more. So that's something that we have to be aware of, and something that we need to not legislate, but something that we need to be ready to try to mitigate, is that the drier it is, the more likely people are to use more water. So we need to be aware of that and get that into the mindset and be ready to reduce that demand in the event that these circumstances occur.
Well, Bill, one of the things that's bothering me about this regression, if you could go back to it, please. That's a downward trend of production as the years have gone by. Correct? Water production?
Yes.
Okay. And it doesn't say consumption. It says
right
production.
On the it says right on the top of the page.
No, here. Right here. The y-axis. That's on the side. Right? Does that say production?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a census number, a census population for the city of Morro Bay. The census population has been fairly consistent over years, but the actual population of people that are in the city is much higher than that. If the per capita comes from the census rating and the number of people is actually much higher, that's going to make that trend lower. I don't see any control for that factor in the equation.
Well, it's that the people looking at it they don't care.
Well, we need to care.
No, they don't care. In other words, as I understood what the requirement, for purposes of meeting the requirements of whatever this is being turned into at the state, this is the way they calculate it, even though it may not make sense in the way. That's what we all are agreeing.
No, I don't think we are. I think what I'm saying is very different than what you're saying, because what I'm hearing is more like complaints about the tourists and are they using more water. What I'm saying is the ratio of census people here in the city that live here, the permanent residents that actually are counted in the census, has been fairly consistent. The number of people who actually have residences and the tourists that are coming here has gone up. That's going to, in itself, make that linear regression go down.
Well, it's just a straight line. Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. Well, let me ask Bill. Are we allowed to use a bigger number for the population?
Well,
under the program, because we're constrained by the instructions.
It's the census population is the standard.
Right. And I understand that's a standard. All I'm saying is the standard is deceptive in this graph compared to what's really happening.
Yeah. Bill estimated that the residents are really using about 80.
And I would absolutely agree. I think it doesn't really...
We all agree.
It's a gross number. It's not a net number. The net number is what the actual citizen uses on the properties that they control.
No, I understand.
But Vicki raised an interesting point. Average daily water production versus average daily water consumption. Those are two different animals, aren't they not?
Yes, they are.
Well, then what is the water production? Now I'm confused. Where is the water production on this graph?
The water production is not on the graph. The water production is in the document. It has historic. In the document itself, there are several tables that have the annual water production for each of the resources for almost 40 years.
So is it a mislabel?
No.
On the y-axis that it says production? What I'm trying to say is I understand statistics enough to know that there's a variable that's not filtering out there, and I think if it's filtered for, you're going to see a very different graph. And since this board's responsibility is to report to city and deal with that, I think it's important to understand.
It's not a graph meaningful for the purpose of this plan. But I mean, it's not. They say use this formula, and that's the formula. The production and consumption is often confused because people want to know how much is being consumed. And the point is that this is what came out of the pipe. And now that doesn't mean it all reached people's homes or businesses, because some may have leaked out and stuff, and so you can affect it from that point of view. But I'm just saying I understand it makes sense.
I'll drop the point and try to develop a model that clarifies exactly what I'm saying, because I think we're getting very deceptive information, and I think that that's a concern that should be addressed. That's all.
Okay,
I'll leave it alone. Leave it alone, but I agree with you.
The state don't change the rules.
No, it's not the state. It's us. This is a document that the state's requiring us to do, okay? We have to do things for our city that are even above and beyond what the state's requiring us to do. That's all. And all I'm saying is that there are questions and variables that are really going to change that, and I'm concerned about
the approach
what it's
simply
really showing to the city.
I don't know how much we certainly can't affect the text of the plan because that's their submission.
You can make whatever recommendation to the council.
Well, we recommend there be
and the council absolutely has the authority to make whatever changes.
No, there be an asterisk.
Well, we may not need one. It says here 141, that number on the side. That's our production, right?
What that is,
and 129
is that was the per capita consumption in that 1 year.
That figure, 141?
1 year.
That's correct.
1 peak year.
And
so in other words, the production isn't on this.
That's how much was used.
I will try to work on this.
This does not bode well. We're on the second slide, and we're not getting very far.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I said I will retract my comment and try to see if I can bring something to the board or privately so that they can understand what it is I'm trying to get across. Because it doesn't change the document. It doesn't change what the state's requiring or their formula. No,
if you
not
go
at
to
all.
The tape on page 31 of the document, gives you 25 years of production.
Well.
There's another exhibit in there that goes further back.
Oh, I see. Table 5-1. Got it. Thank you very much, Bill. Okay.
Well, if you love that one, you'll really love this one.
Keep marching on.
Population projections. You may recall that as part of the collection system master plan, that consultant estimated build-out at 12,500. This one does 12,300 based on the same occupancy factor. So somewhere there's 200 people in the mix sometime in the next 20 years.
Tourist.
And I think what they tried to do is they tried to accommodate the current occupancy factor and then the 91%, which is the countywide. These are just projections. These are modified every 5 years to be based on reality, or something resembling reality anyway.
I like that copy, huh?
Here's, because we are kind of conservative by nature, where even though you can see, hopefully can see, that the demand over the past 30-some-odd years has been relatively flat, from 1,500 acre-feet about in 1970 to under 1,500 acre-feet in the year 2005, we still project that there will be an increase in water use over the next 20 years with the increase, with a 20% increase in population projected. Now, what we haven't seen over the course of the previous 35 years was that same rate of actual growth. We presume, and what we presume is that new development occurs at the same rate that it has been occurring historically. That the same number, that the average number of new building permits are issued, the same average number of hotel permits and commercial permits are issued, and everything goes up uniformly. What we've seen, of course, is residential development has come nowhere near to those number of units that have been allocated on an annualized basis, but for the purposes of this analysis, and a purpose for most analyses, you will take out at a reasonable rate of growth over the period of the planning horizon. And so what we wind up with under that iteration is, are these populations at the five-year increments between now and the end of the 20-year planning horizon, using the 129 gallons per capita per day, which is just under the water management plan threshold, we can see that we would be expecting then, by the year 2010, to have a demand of 1,600 acre-feet, similar in 2015, 1,700 by 2020, and then 1,800 in the year 2025.
Does that mean that we're going to have to find sources of new water? Since we only get 1,313 acre-feet from state?
Be patient.
Thank you.
We get there. Now, our water demand is significantly higher in the summertime than it is in the wintertime. That's intuitively, that's true, and statistically it's true. This will affect, look at the shape of the graph. We will be seeing this shape later on when we're talking about the operational plan to meet the demand. Clearly, we need to be able to deliver more water in July and August than we do in January, February, and March. But this sort of pattern, the seasonal demands, is important for us to remember. That pattern will be coming up later. As far as what are existing resources, this is a geographic schematic. We're right here on the coast, and hopefully the camera shows the kind of the shaded detail behind. In Morro Bay itself, we have our desalting plant. We have the Morro wells. We have the Choro wells. This is the state water pipeline, the coastal branch, the Choro Valley pipeline that comes out to deliver water to us. And we also have, as I mentioned earlier, the mutual aid agreement with the California Men's Colony, which provides, under exigent circumstances, access to the Whale Rock Reservoir. And again, in summary, the existing resources are conservation, most particularly in this is demand reduction. Our Morro Valley groundwater, to which we have permits for 581 acre-feet per year. The Choro groundwater, for which we have permits in the amount of 1,142.5 acre-feet per year, with the notation that the Choro Valley wells have an in-stream flow requirement. That tells us that in the event that the ambient stream flow in Choro Creek at the measurement locations, if it drops below 1.4 cubic feet per second, we don't operate the wells. But we do when it's above, or we can when it's above. State water, 1,313 acre-feet per year. There's been a lot of discussion over the years about reliability of state water deliveries. We have drought buffer. We'll talk more about the drought buffer a little bit later, but that we have. And the desalting plant, in its current configuration, has a capacity of 645 acre-feet per year. I should note that the water management plan tells us that the desalting plant shall be used only for routine replacement and seasonal peaking. The idea is that the desalter keeps us from falling into an emergency. Here we have the estimations that have come out of our groundwater analyses over the years of the yield estimates for Morrow and Choro under different climatic conditions. One is the Wrights, the 1142.5, 581 for 1,723.5 acre-feet total by permit. Under a normal year, we can get that. A normal year means stream flow in Choro, life is good. Under a dry year, where there's a reduction in the stream flow of Choro, then the yield out of Choro is reduced in a commensurate manner. Morrow remains the same. The total then is 1147. The average expected long term is 1506, with the 581 remaining constant and the 925. Now, what we did note during the critical drought period of 87 through 92 is that what we were able to reliably extract from those valleys were the 581 from Morrow and 566 from Choro for a total of 1147. And that critical will be touching on that as well. The state water drought buffer. There's a couple of components going on here. One is that we acquired the drought buffer. The other is that the county has an allocation or has a contract with the Department of Water Resources for 25,000 acre-feet per year. We do not have the physical facilities to deliver 25,000 acre-feet per year. What we have on a countywide basis is the ability to deliver only those amounts that were specifically contracted by the City of Morro Bay, Men's Colony, San Luis County, Pismo Beach, Oceano, and a couple other water purveyors. But under this scenario, with the retention of the uncontracted state water entitlement, which is now planned by the county at least to 2030, at least the most recent data I have, they don't intend to sell or to divest themselves of the remainder of the 25,000 at least until 2030. You may recall that in previous years, under previous boards of supervisors, they were talking about selling it as fast as they could. Now what they're talking about is getting into and it's a serious discussion about groundwater banking. Portions of the state water system are capable of delivering the entire 25,000 acre feet. That water is not yet potable. So there is discussion of delivering raw state water into the county and banking it in perhaps the Paso Robles groundwater aquifers. But that's a process that started. Now it's being discussed on a regionalized basis. But the bottom line is that we've talked about, I think everybody, not everybody, a lot of people are familiar with the delivery percentages that state water historically delivers 70% of the requests and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. During the 90s, there was a lot of talk about reliability. The bottom line is that if state water deliveries drop down to as low as 7%, which hasn't happened, but if they go down as low as 7%, we would effectively receive almost our entire contracted amount. So you can see that under this scenario, under any number of delivery reductions on a statewide basis, we still are capable of receiving our entire contracted amount.
Unless that reduction is due to a emergency or a
natural disaster of some sort that...
Absolutely, yes. Exigent circumstances, yes.
What guarantee do we have?
Thank you. What guarantee do we have of getting that 1303? If we're in a drought years and it's down to 7%, there are other water purveyors throughout the state. Are we still, I mean, do we have a contractual agreement to receive this 1303?
The procedure that happens, the county, we do not have. We have a subcontract with the county. We have no relationship with the state.
Okay.
It's the county that has the contract. And the county makes a request every year for water deliveries, as do all the state water purveyors. They have to submit their delivery requests, and then the state makes across-the-board deliveries based on percentages of deliveries. If it's an 80% delivery, L.A. gets 80%, and we get 80%.
Okay.
They don't get 100 while we get 2.
Thank you. That answers the question.
So what we've done is look at these various factors for short-term power outages, long-term energy crisis, delivery facility failures, droughts, and a number of exigent circumstances, and came up with a matrix of the reliability of the respective resources. Not too surprisingly, the most reliable of the resources is a desalting plant. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, frankly. The existing and the potential for an expanded plant are the most reliable. Past that, state water with a drought buffer. After that, the CMC agreement. Then Morrow, Choro with treatment, and then Choro. The reason, the one of the main reasons that you see the groundwater rated as low as it is this section right in the middle here, contamination. And when you think of MTBE, you think of nitrates, you think of bacteriological, any number of things that have the potential to adversely affect the groundwater supply. How we deal with these circumstances is through the conjunctive use of these resources. Certainly the first and the primary source is the continued water conservation measures of the community. We have used state water kind of as our baseline supply since it's been available because, frankly, it has significantly better quality than the groundwater. Then groundwater, which we would be using the Choro water during the wetter season when the stream flows up, and reserving Morrow for later in the year when perhaps the stream flow is lower and Choro may not be available. And then we have the desalter sleeping, ready to come to the forefront for routine replacement and seasonal peaking. Here's what we believe that we have kind of an operational scenario for a normal year in 2010. 5 years from now, how are we going to be delivering water? You can see we need 1,500 acre feet. We take a relatively constant amount of delivery from the State Water Project. We don't need groundwater early in the year. We start using groundwater as the demand starts to pick up late in the spring and into the late spring and early summer. Then we anticipate that the Choro floors will start to drop, and then we'll shift over to Morrow in the summertime to augment state water. How this appears in graphic form is this. We got our baseline. Remember, we got the peak summer demand that we talked about on the peaking chart. We have a relatively constant supply of state water coming in, and then it's augmented in April, May, June, and July with Choro, and then in August, September, October, and a little tiny bit over here in November by Morrow. Now, clearly, when state water shuts down at this time of year for that week or 2 weeks in November, then the desalter and augmented groundwater supplies come into play. That's a normal year.
in a dry year, what we would do is we would be going to Choro. Now we're looking in a dry year that we're having a reduction in state water. Because that's, if we're getting our full deliveries of state water, frankly, a lot of the other stuff is pretty easy. Okay. But if we're seeing a reduction in state water down to 745 acre feet per year, which is that 4%, I believe, delivery scenario, we would be starting Choro immediately at the beginning of the year and using it fairly heavily in the beginning of the year. And because it's a dry year, it was probably going to, the stream flow would probably be lower earlier in the year. Now, there's a caveat here, and it's a big caveat. I've never seen, and to my best of my knowledge, there's never been any correlation found between local drought conditions and regional drought conditions. It's one of the benefits of having local resources, and an important resource is that when it's dry here, there's water up there, and vice versa. Now, in a year like this, there's water everywhere, but and then storage becomes the issue. But under this scenario, which we believe is a reasonably worst-case scenario with drought conditions in both areas, old, it's not the best and most current technology. It doesn't use membrane technology. But it produces reasonably good quality water. It definitely it passes all the Title 22, all the health requirements.
So you would use the water directly, or it wouldn't go through our plant?
No. It would be the connection that we have with at CMC is at the Choro Valley Pipeline.
Okay.
So the raw water goes up the Whale Rock Pipeline, goes to the CMC water plant, and then gets delivered in the potable water system to the Choro Valley Pipeline, to whence it comes back down the pipeline directly into our tank system.
And they have that excess capacity?
They have that capacity, yes. So graphically, that scenario is, as I stated earlier, a lower baseline supply of state water, accessing more Choro earlier in the year, more Choro later in the year, buttressing up the supply from Moro in the middle of the year, and with the peaking in the summertime coming from the desalter. Now, I didn't bother to do 2015 or 2020 because if we can handle, you know, if we see what we're doing in 2025, we kind of skip to the conclusion, if you will. Here's a normal year in 2025. Now, remember that we're at build-out where our demand is about 1,800 acre-feet per year. Under a normal year, we're getting our full allocation from state water. We're running Choro wells early in the year. We're switching over to Moro in the summer. And then at the end of the year, we're augmenting back with Choro after the rains have started. Total 1,799. Shortage, zero. Again, graphically, I must have missed the desalter. The constant supply from the State Water Project, Choro running through into July, then after July going with Moro, a little bit of the desalter for part of a month, and then back to Choro in December. And then the really tough part is a dry year in the year 2025. Now, what the consultant did is they went to the 141 gallons per capita. So what they did is they provided for a demand of over 1,900 acre-feet under that scenario. Again, with the deliveries from State Water, we start Choro at the beginning of the year. We switch over to Moro, and we go an extended period of Moro through the middle and into the late year. Choro picks up again. And we have more of the desalting. Now we're in a four-month operational scenario for the desalter in the middle of summer. And this is how that looks. Baseline supply state water. Choro early in the year. Choro again late. Moro in the middle. Desalting for the seasonal peaking. Again, the amount of the shortage is zero. Another requirement is to look at the worst three consecutive year period and how we would handle that. So, and that is required for this first five-year period. So we looked at 2006, 7, 8, and 9. 581 acre-feet a year from Morrow. As we saw in that other chart, the long-term yield under the critical drought of 89 through 92, 566. Full deliveries from the State Water Project, assuming it's more than a 4% delivery, and the capability of the desalting plant, we have a total supply capabilities in excess of 2,500 acre-feet, which provides surplus. Now, I caution you on the surplus. That means that we have enough to produce enough water for that peak in the summertime. It doesn't mean that we have enough to support growth above and beyond what the general plan calls for, a local coastal plan. That's not part of it. It just means that we're able to comfortably, even under this condition, to supply adequate supplies of water in that peak summer seasonal period. And in summary, we're actually in fairly good shape. And it's the reliability of the water supply has clearly improved. I can't even say significantly strong enough over the past 20 years. But it has improved to the point where we're confident that we can provide an adequate supply of quality water to the community for build-out in accord with the current general plan. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope it's not a stupid question, Land, who doesn't have the technical acumen that...
Well, I would take issue with it. None of them are stupid. None of the questions are. They're all good.
Well, thank you.
A couple of questions along those lines. I saw in here that the city has a washing machine rebate program in effect.
That's correct.
How would someone find out more information about that and the voluntary low-flow toilet?
They call Kathy Weaver at 772-6261.
Okay.
They are low-flow toilets, shower restrictors, and Energy Star washing machines are eligible for $100 rebates.
And that's from property owners, correct?
We just want to make sure that they're in and installed.
So do the people bring the receipts in, or how does
that
work?
That's correct. They bring the receipts. They bring in, the receipt from the plumber that he changed out a toilet, receipt for the washing machine, these sorts of things. Yes.
And then I guess along the lines of State Water, it is a good resource, but looking at it as something that we're anticipating from outside of our area, again, I think it's important to be responsible for what we have going for us here. And along those lines, again, the idea of a treatment plant in the Chorro Creek Valley is something that would be it would be a positive impact on our Chorro wells and give us the ability to pull water out of there because we would be resupplying the creek. That's correct?
That is absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And it's a keystone for the future, the longer-term reliability. It's a difficult situation under any circumstance that, as we saw, we have permits for over 1,100 acre-feet from the Chorro Valley. But you can see that in a dry year, and dry years happen, we can only reasonably expect to be able to access those resources in 4 of the 12 months. So we really want to be able to increase the reliability of that specific component of the resource inventory. Now, the other side of the equation is that in order to do that, I think that the public and the policymakers need to be comfortable that these reliability factors don't get turned into poof surplus water that are used for development above and beyond what's programmed in the general plan. That's a very critical component. Now, I think I don't remember the number of the measure that prohibits annexations without a vote of the people. There are, I think, in place any number of assurances that Morro Bay is going to be 12,500 or 12,600 or 12,300 versus 50 or 75,000. So the reliability to be able to access all these resources, any number of resources at any time, is really a critical component. And if we can do it, as you said, and I'm motoring on now, if we can do that by providing another piece of infrastructure that enhances the Choro environment, we've served two very good masters with one very good project.
Especially with the anticipated investment in our wastewater treatment plant in some way, shape, or form. And as is pointed out in here, if we go to tertiary there, we then need to implement a better way of distributing that that reclaimed tertiary water.
And I think from on a reclamation standpoint, I think it needs to be clear that we've done a lot of analysis over a course of 45 years since the city's been incorporated, looking at various reclamation options, ag exchange, park golf course irrigation, these sorts of things. Recently, in conjunction with that analysis, I called up several of the farmers to ask them how they would feel about us getting an easement across their property to go to put a pipeline for a discharge into San Bernardo or San Lucita Creek further up Choro. And the response from one of them was, "You're not talking about giving us reclaimed water and talking and taking away our groundwater again, are you?" So the resistance from the agricultural community to reclaimed water is still there. It's still very strong. So we really don't look at using this water for agricultural purposes, with the restrictions in the crop selections, the methodologies of irrigation, and the responsibilities that that the farmer would need to accept. What we were looking for is some market, quote unquote, that could accept the water 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, wet or dry, and the Choro environment answers all those questions.
Yeah.
That we had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The funding mechanisms were really because of the clear environmental benefits. There were environmental groups that were more than willing to help us get grant money for construction.
That's what I was inquiring about. But you haven't looked at this in a number of years?
That is correct.
So if we needed to, we would have to start over, or just...
No, I don't think we'd start over.
No, we just
upgrade. I think we would pick up from where we stopped and keep going.
So it's a relatively simple process. It's just a matter of committing to it?
I wouldn't say simple. I wouldn't say simple.
I'm a dreamer.
It's a question of will.
Okay. Where there's a way. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I think it's an excellent report, Bill. I really do. Excellent presentation as well. It's a very consistent and, as Mr. Olson says, you cover the bases very well. Thank you.
With our motion, is there a way we could incorporate the idea of a Choro Creek wastewater treatment plant, tertiary?
You're at liberty to make just about any motion you want, sir.
I'll support you on that.
I'm not as good as motions as Barry is, though.
Incorporated into their language.
Why don't you make a motion?
It's the first.
Make a motion, Noah, and see where it goes, and see what we can get the discussion going.
All right. I'll move to accept the report as presented by Mr. Boucher, with the emphasized interest in the idea of a wastewater treatment plant, tertiary wastewater treatment plant in the Choro Valley being a viable option for our future water needs and environmental protection.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Well, shouldn't the motion be that we're recommending acceptance to the
recommend adoption of the plan by the council.
I would actually recommend probably two motions.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Because the one issue is recommending to council whether or not this document should go forward to the state as required by state law. So we have to submit something to the state. Mm-hmm. It seems to me maybe there might be more impact with two motions.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you've got a motion to recommend accepting and moving this forward to the city council with the addendum, the writer, of recommending a tertiary wastewater treatment in the Charles Valley. What's wrong with that in one motion?
It's two completely different issues, and if the council
right.
looks at it, they may accept one of our recommendations and not the other part, which could cause them to kick out the entire thing.
Very good. Then I will withdraw my second.
Okay.
Until Novak.
I'll make a motion to accept the presentation by Mr. Boucher as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay.
If I might, I'm just going to jump in. Accepting it doesn't mean recommending the council adopt it.
Oh.
Then make it.
We all know what you want to do.
Well, it's not what you want to do, but you have to have, unless you want staff or Kathy making up the motions, it's worthwhile thinking about, in the context of the structure we work with, what it is that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And what needs to be done is simply say to the city council, we recommend you adopt this, and if I can, this is part of the discussion, but this is how I do it, and give consideration to adding a treatment plant as a way of further guaranteeing the sufficiency of resources into the future.
I like that.
Yes, but I'll go along with Vicki on this. I do think it would serve us and council better to have that as a separate motion.
Oh, okay.
Have one motion strictly.
That's fine. Was
accepting this and recommending its adoption to the city council or whatever.
Yeah.
Accept
report and recommend adoption to the city council. Is that a motion?
Well, is that what you need?
Roger.
Is that what you need?
That would be.
Is that so moved?
Second.
All right. Now, discussion.
All right. Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Now, Noah, why don't you make your motion?
On this other thing.
That was unanimous, Kathy.
Just a second. Bill, you had this plan in mind for you.
In order to maintain a high-quality water.
Enhance our
I like it. I'm accepting this because it's good. Mary's been here for a long time.
So moved. I see.
One of the things we need to do on motions is not only send a clear idea to council what we want, but allow Ms. Weaver to be able to write it down verbatim, which is a really good thing if we actually want something done.
As an
advisory board, it's a good idea to remember that we are asking them to consider, because we don't have the authority to make them do anything. So we're asking them to consider it, and then it's up to them to implement that or not. So that was another reason why the two separate motions gives them a little better ability to work with the two issues. So we have a motion and we have a second. Kathy, were you able to get all that down, or do you need anything rephrased before we?
I can get it up.
See, she's gonna go that route. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No, it's unanimous vote, 5-0.
Good motion, Noah.
Thank you.
A little choppy.
Thank you, gentlemen. It takes a little bit. We'll get to it. I think our freshman members are doing an outstanding job. I'd like to say that right now. That's 6 years, and I'm amazed. Okay, gentlemen, do we have... You have a thought, Roger, I can tell.
Well, no, I just... Back to this motion that we just made. I think for the audience out there, there needs to be some clarification as to why we were making this. And Bill just mentioned the benefits
not only to us as citizens, but to the whole ecological balance of the valley and the environment. A steelhead trout would be...
lots of water.
Well, lots of water, but I...
And the obvious for our water, we can't pump any water out of Troll Basin unless there's water flowing in that creek.
True.
We can't touch it. And
but I think it's
this would be a quality of water that would be treated water that could be put back into the groundwater that could allow that to happen. And
substantial flow of good water providing the quantity of water needed plus the water for the trout to come up.
Well,
yes.
And hopefully also some dilution of other toxics that are in
but
the water.
It's a valuable, very
like
valuable concept. And it's the first time tonight, first time I've ever heard about this.
And we've been talking about it for how many years now, Bill?
Yeah,
this has been discussion.
I think it's low these many, Madam Chair.
Many, 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 many,
Well, that's only a few years ago. Well, I think it's an excellent idea.
Just a little bit more.
I'm delighted that we're sending it, highly recommending it. Kathy,
and I'd strongly encourage anybody in the public watching to attend the council meetings if you see that on the agenda to offer your support for it as well.
Yeah.
So if we may, thank you, and we have audience members.
Thank you, Noah, for making this possible tonight.
Okay. We're going to move on to item 10. We're almost done, ladies and gentlemen. Future agenda items. What we have listed here already is two appointments to the APCD Greenhouse Gas Subcommittee, which personally I know nothing about. Mr. Boucher, could you give us a little clarification on that?
Just no, for... I can't.
Well, thank you very much. I love his honesty. Well,
I know that the City Council took an action directing directing staff to provide you with the APCD made a presentation to the council, the Air Pollution Control District. Larry Allen made a presentation to the City Council a couple meetings ago, one I was not did not attend. The council heard the presentation. They liked it a lot. They directed us to present you those materials that were presented and to appoint, they said, three members, but since we have five, we can't do three because of quorum issues.
That would be a quorum issue.
To appoint two members to work with the APCD on measures the community can embark upon to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
And I'm thinking of a couple people that might want to be on that committee.
And unfortunately, I got the materials, but only this Monday, so there wasn't time to
So we're looking at May's
agenda.
Meeting possibly for having
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to be members of the PWAP?
That's my
that's
reading of the language,
was asking
yes.
For. That was my understanding.
All I have is the minutes.
We wouldn't know the time commitments on that.
I don't know yet, but yeah. I think we'll have a lot more information over the course of the next few
weeks. This is just for
weeks.
Future agenda items that we this is something new that we started just recently within the last few months of generally under future agenda items it would be blank. And we would be coming up with things, and staff would bring to us things that were on the books, getting ready to head our way, things that they've been working on. And what we've done now is we've actually added some of those items to keep fresh in our mind. Oh, yes, this is coming up. Don't forget this. Just so it kind of gives us an idea. And there are some times when we have to actually make choices about what's going to be and where it was moving. And I won't say the rest because, well, we won't talk about transit right now because, frankly, it pisses me off. Okay. And also, Rica, South Bay Boulevard and Quintana, traffic petition. I know that there were some people there that wanted a traffic signal there and some development planned, and a city engineer requested that developer get a licensed traffic engineer to bring a survey to us. So we've been hearing that for, I think, about 3 months now. So as soon as we get that, if it's ready, we'll be looking at that as well, possibly next meeting.
Do you anticipate that'll be next meeting?
Frank said that he intends it to be, yes.
So that's good for the public to know. But Frank, at the last meeting, I understood, was going to contact some of the lead people and the petitioners.
Right. It had been looking like it was going to be ready for a while, and then nobody had heard.
The people who are interested would know about it.
Right. And I think
communication.
It's kind of I'll say interesting just for lack of a different term, but because of the pending development and the role of the Planning Commission in development review vis-a-vis this board's lack of role in development, there's kind
that
of a fine line.
That means we have no authority.
So I don't really know, and on my own, I can't speak for Frank by any means. So I don't know exactly what's going to come to you, because it's you can't talk about the traffic situation there without talking about the development. The document that was produced is related to impacts coming from the development. So I just don't know how that's all going to, how that all plays out. So I would just rely on Frank to be able to illuminate you.
No, I just meant that there's a mechanism to let the people who originally had the petition know.
We won't be able to inform all of them.
No, but
inform one, and I think you'll inform them.
And they'll telephone.
One other thing for folks that don't know, if you have access to the internet, I believe it is www.morrill-bay.ca.us. And if you go to that site, that is a city website. You can scroll down for public works or public services. You can find agendas and minutes for all of the boards and commissions in the city. And that's probably one of the fastest ways to find out what's coming up on the agenda for the upcoming meeting. It'll tell you what days of the week, what week of the month each one of the boards and commissions meet. And it's very informative. So I encourage you to take advantage of that so that you know what's going on, so that we can have more audience members, which is a wonderful thing for us.
And internet comment for those of you who are like me who can't remember all these addresses: if you Google Morro Bay City Council, you'll end up at the site. You'll have a choice in high up there will be the site you're going after.
Very good. Thank you, Barry.
I have a question on the
traffic, yes, sir, Roger.
Traffic, for the sake of the public who might show up, it'll be a public hearing item?
This board tries to do everything in a public hearing.
Good. And will we know ahead of time how far we can carry the discussion vis-a-vis your comments made a moment ago?
I'm comfortable that that discussion will be held at the staff level. The city attorney isn't that far from us, and he will give us pretty clear direction on what's too far.
Okay.
Rob is very good at that.
Yeah, I'm really inquiring as to, for the benefit of the public who might be here, because if we're not allowed to do or to cover certain areas vis-a-vis the development of the project, what can we as a board do versus what the public might would like us to do? That's where I'm the big question mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the differences between our board as Public Works Advisory Board and Planning Commission is Planning Commission actually they are binding.
Mm-hmm.
They are a legal body, and they have a little more authority similar to council in that regard. We are advisory, so our advisement goes directly to council.
Okay.
So what's a really good thing for Public Works Advisory Board is to get information out there. I know I try to keep our meetings very informal for the public to feel a little more welcome, to not feel overwhelmed with a lot of lingo and terminology and acronyms that nobody understands but is afraid to say something about. We try to kind of bring that down a little bit. And hopefully, as something like that would come through our board, the public would come here to get information maybe a little slower pace with not so many things on the agenda, and to be able to give us comments so that we can make a recommendation, and then they would have a little more information before they would follow through and hopefully go to the city council meeting where our motion would be heard. And that would be a good opportunity for them to do their 3 minutes or, you know, to discuss the issue as it's on the agenda for public hearing.
Very well answered.
So,
thank you.
I was told one time that the Public Works Advisory Board is expected to advise the council on what the council asks us to advise them on. We don't originate material, in other words. You know.
I was anticipating the discussion. I haven't found it that hard to deal with what's called the gray area between us and this body in planning, because when it comes to the stop signs, you start with from the point of departure of safety, and with that point of departure you may get into other things, but you don't say these other things are good or bad. You just comment on how they affect safety in terms of that stop sign. So it's not I don't think it's going to be that hard, yeah, using that as a point of departure. Yeah.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
I would accept it with a reminder to come out to the debate this Sunday evening, Caicos Vets Hall. We've got the District 2 candidates for the SLO County Supervisors at 6 to 8 o'clock. Vets Hall. Come on out.
Thank you, Noah.
Thank you, Noah. That was sly. We'll adjourn at about 8:18.
I didn't think it was.